Hey, Rabbi.
Father.
Rabuni.
Priest.
Cleric.
Friend.
Clergyman. Oh, gosh. Man, now you got me. You won. Hey, buddy. Welcome back to the podcast, man.
Thank you.
I know you've been gone for a little while. So, what are your thoughts on divine healing?
I think divine healing is very powerful when done with conviction, done with intent, and done with a strong sense of spirituality.
What if I told you that we're going to have a guest on today who broke his arm and never went to a doctor but prayed his way through it and found healing?
I'd say it's remarkable. I'd say that there is a lot of strength and conviction of faith. You know, as Jews, we certainly do pray for healing in the context in which not so much that God will heal, but that a community is praying on one's behalf that says that you are not alone, that we are here for you. Now, in some instances, in some cases, does the healing occur? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'd just be very weary, very cautious, I should say, that God has the ability to completely heal those that may be in struggle, challenge, or illness.
Well, we're going to take all that wariness and caution straight into this podcast as we're bringing on a Christian scientist.
Oof. We're bringing on Tom Cruise.
That, my friend, is Scientology.
Scientology, not to be confused with Christian Science.
Correct.
Completely different.
So very different.
Very
so
different.
Today, ladies and gents, we are talking about Christian Science, the founder of was Mary Baker Eddy, as opposed to Scientology, which was L. Ron Hubbard, John Travolta, and Tom Cruise, and maybe Beck. There are many, many famous Scientologists out there, but we're going to Christian Science, which is a science about, well, we're going to get into that. A big piece of that is divine healing, really. And so stick around. It's going to be an exciting episode. It's going to get a little cerebral at times.
So I think it's interesting, too, in terms of when you said divine healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, as Jews, I think there's something that we look to divine healing as, give me strength, God.
Mm-hmm.
Give me, you know, the ability to, you know, we say it in our prayers in the morning, thank you, God, for the gift of allowing me the opportunity to wake up feeling mm-hmm. renewed and refreshed. And I think that there's something there, too, about just the strength. Please, God, give me strength. If I'm struggling with illness or some challenge, please, God, just give me strength.
And so today we're going to be talking to someone who won't just say, give me strength, but God, help me to see that my arm is actually full and complete and made perfectly in your image, and that this broken arm is just an illusion. Isn't that exciting? We're going to get into that. So stick around here on the podcast of a priest and a rabbi. Thank you for being here. Share, like, tell people, leave a comment. It helps with our ratings so we can seduce more people in becoming Judeo-Christians. Just kidding. Enjoy the show.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the program hosts and their guests and are not necessarily those of WSTU, St. Mary's Episcopal Church, and Temple Beit Haim. Products that may be mentioned are not necessarily intended as an endorsement. Any reproduction or retransmission of this broadcast is strictly prohibited. And now, WSTU presents a priest and a rabbi. Call in with questions and comments at 220-9788. 220-WSTU. Now, here's your host.
Hey, hey, hey. Good morning, everybody. This is a priest and a rabbi with Father Christian Anderson at St. Mary's Episcopal Church and the best-looking rabbi this side of the Jordan River, Rabbi Matthew Durbin. It is a pleasure to be with here on this morning, bringing to you probably the most progressive content you'll find here in 1450 AM. But, you know, we like to be impartial about everything. Rabbi, it is so good to see you this morning, brother.
We
haven't done a show together in ever.
We have, it's been challenging the last couple of weeks.
Well, not challenging. It's been good things because you've been like, you know, you went to a circumcision ceremony and you and then you had family stuff, dude. You're a good Jewish guy. Family comes first.
You know, it's an exciting time. My brother's wife delivered a baby boy.
Mazel tov.
About 2 weeks ago, and a little foreign to my family as we have three daughters, three girls. And when my brother called and said we had a baby boy, I said, look, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but you are very time dependent. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you have 8 days. You have 8 days to contact a Moyle and to have circumcision.
What's done. A Moyle?
So a Moyle is a...
it's that thing you can get removed from the back of your, like, on your like, shoulder.
It is definitely something that you get removed.
Okay.
So a Moyle is a either a trained physician or a trained professional in the removal of the foreskin of...
penis.
Yes.
It's probably the first time that word's ever been used on this station.
You know, we ritualize it. There is a ceremony. There is lots of prayers that we say on behalf of the child, and they undergo the rite of circumcision. And it's just an amazing event. So it was really quick. I mean, it was something where, you know.
I hope it's quick. If not, it's pretty painful.
From the moment we made the contact to, booking a plane ticket and getting out. My brother lives halfway between Toronto and Montreal, kind of flew into Toronto, got up very early the next morning, and did the family thing. It was an amazing, amazing thing.
So your name came up regarding all of this stuff that you're talking about right now, regarding a Moyle. So my wife and I, you know, other, let's just, you know, family news here, mm-hmm. and, you know, we like to talk about what a priest and a rabbi are up to. So we found out we're having a baby boy.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you, Mickety Mike.
As we say in Hebrew, we say the words, B'shah Tova, in the time to come, may this be a joyous and incredible celebration for you and for Anastasia and the growing family that you are having.
Amen. So we were, so everyone said at church, because everyone knows that you and I are buddies now, that they said, why don't you get the rabbi to circumcise your baby boy?
we can make him Jewish.
Well, I think the thought was that, you know, in a Christian community, we're just like, well, rabbis know how to circumcise, right? And so then yesterday, the rabbi comes over to the church and says, my idiot self is like, so when my baby's born, can you circumcise him? And he goes, no. I'm like, what, they don't teach you that in seminary? He's like, no. I'm like, what if you can you do it anyways? And he's like, well, then he's going to be Jewish. And I'm like, so? I mean, that's a really good start for Christians.
You heard it here first. Father Anderson said, so?
Well, it's a good start.
Let's make my boy Jewish.
He'll know the Hebrew scripture really well, and then I'll introduce him to the Christian scripture, and he's going to be the most well-rounded Christian
out there. So let's just not confuse with, you know, Reform and conservative communities. Rabbis, do not do circumcisions. We pray. And we do ritual ceremony, but we are not charged with the responsibility and the skill of that procedure. That we kind of reserve for the skill of doctors and the physicians and those who are skilled and trained in the removal process.
That was a really good disclaimer, so you didn't have people get, you know, calling you after this.
Like, you'd be amazed. I do.
Well, like me, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have a higher degree, and I still said, hey man, can you did you take the elective on moiling little boys?
Yeah, you know, I used to in my former congregation, we would have the same thing. People would call up and say, Rabbi, I had a baby boy. You know, we want circumcision to be done on this date. What's your availability? And I said, you know, my availability is this. I'd love to be able to do prayers. And they said, no, we need the removal. Can you do it? And I said, no, I'm not trained, nor is any rabbi really trained in the removal of that. It takes a lot of training.
You know what we need to do, Mickey Mike, put this on the board. We need to have a show about, like, drive-by sacraments or sacramental acts or, you know, drive-by life of big life events. So us, we have to deal with people who just want, like, hey, can we get a baptism this Saturday? Well, we need, like, 6 months of training, you know, like classes before that, or drive-by marriages. You know, they just want to stop by, get married, move on. They're not part of the community at all. And, you know, I don't know if you get drive-by circumcisions. You know, can we just do it without the ceremony?
I drive by in my Honda Odyssey, and I'll come out with the scalpel and say, who wants it?
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll talk about that. So that's not today's show, but today's show is all about Christian Science.
Not to be confused with Scientology.
Not to be confused.
As I made the mistake.
You thought Tom Cruise was coming on today.
Well, there's always time. I mean,
yes, I'm sure he would love to come here on 1450 WSTU and on the Priest and Rabbi podcast.
Well, he lives in New York. It's cold in New York.
Yeah, he can call in. Tom, if you're listening, Tomcat, come on in. Bring some L. Ron Hubbard stuff. We're not talking about Tomcat. We're not talking about L. Ron Hubbard. This is not a show about Dianetics. This is today's show is about Christian Science and divine healing. And we want to get into this. I don't know if you all are familiar with the denomination called Christian Science. I will not even try to give you the in-depth part because we do have a guest today who will be introducing momentarily named Joe Garriano, who is a Christian scientist. But I did study Christian Science for a little bit. I was fascinated by it. I had a back injury that was real bad. I've had it since I was just about 5'6". Now I'm 6'6". I couldn't run the marathon because my back was so jacked. I knew Joe. I've known Joe for a while. And Joe got me involved with a Christian Scientist church. This is before, you know, I started going down the path of priesthood. And I worked Christian Science and I prayed my butt off through the scientific way of this Christian Science. I don't know if it was a big Christian Science healing, but I ran the marathon.
But so you say that you and our guest speaker Joe have known each other for a while. What's a while?
I don't know, like 15 years.
Wow. So Joe can give us the real lowdown on Father Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Both he and – but if he starts pulling that out on me, I could pull it out on him, too, because we both had a big previous life. So anyways, so Joe Garriano, come on to the show. Jose Garriano, all the way out in Arizona, waking up early to join us here on A Priest and a Rabbi. Welcome, my brother.
Hey, thanks, guys. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you guys.
So this is good. So excuse our antics and our silliness. You're probably going to be the straight man on this, and we'll just be the idiots who are talking about Scientology. So feel free to smack us across the airwaves. We're just having fun here. We definitely respect your religion and Christian Science, as you know. So anything we do is just in jest. And feel free to throw it back at us and make fun of us because we deserve it.
So just because I just want to pick up on what you said in terms of so Christian Science as a religion, or is it a philosophy? Is it a way of a state of being? Maybe we go back and say, you know, what is it? How was it formed? What is its membership? You know, what is its structure?
Yeah, first, Joe, is it a religion?
So it is. To me, it is first and foremost a way of thinking and a way of living. But there is a Christian Science church, by all means. So the answer to your question is yes in both senses. It might help if I give a little bit of background on where it came from and kind of explain it in that light.
Please do.
There was a woman from New England. Her name was Mary Baker Eddy. She lived in the second part of the 1800s and the early part of the 1900s. In the year of 1866, she had been a very ardent student of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. She grew up in a very religious household in New England, but she was ill often. She was oftentimes bedridden. She was critically injured in 1866, and the doctors basically said, hey, there's nothing much else we can do for you. And there was kind of a watershed moment for her there. She was studying the Bible, a particular passage from the New Testament, and was completely healed of this critical injury. And she said, you know what, I got to figure out what happened here. And so she spent a lot of time digging very deeply into the Bible. And what came to her through that study and through that experience is an understanding of the Bible really teaching us that God, in a spiritual sense, is the only reality, right? And all of our experience is actually spiritual, though it seems to be material, right? And she saw that connected to the healing experience she had. And what she realized is it was more than just theory. She was able to demonstrate it. She was able to use this deeper understanding to heal other people, not just, you know, behavioral dimension, but also the physical dimension, actual physical healing. So what she did is she said, I got to write this down. I got to explain this. So she wrote a book called Science and Health with the Key to the Scriptures. And her original intent, to your opening question you had, was not to form a church, but rather to have this book that complements the Bible and explains this revelation and this scientific method, she called it, of healing spiritually through prayer. Well, what she learned after a little while is that in order to really perpetuate this teaching in this system of healing, she had to form a church, kind of strengthen, make sure it persisted in its kind of correct state. So from that grew a church, which still exists today. It still is very active. There is a what they call the mother church in Boston. So the headquarters of the church is in Boston. And that's where you may have heard of the Christian Science Monitor. They've got a publishing society there. We also publish a variety of different religious periodicals. So that's all situated in Boston. And then in various cities across the world, there are things called branch churches, which they're all connected back to the mother church, but they're individual kind of churches or societies where, you know, locally people will attend the church services.
Now, Joe,
hopefully that helps.
This is extremely helpful, Joe. So as you're talking to two clergy members here, and so and well, walk us and the listeners through that when you attend a Christian Science service and you go to the service, is that on a Sunday? Is it any? I mean, I'll say this person because I know you personally. Is that you know, you grew up in a Catholic background? Is it anything similar at all to going to the Catholic liturgy, or is it a completely different feel? And if it is a different feel, why?
Sure. Yeah. So there's a lot of similarities. For instance, when I grew up as a kid, we went to church every Sunday morning. I still go to church every Sunday morning. But when I went to the Catholic Church, we, you know, learned about the one God. We learned about Jesus. We read from the Bible. Same thing as a Christian Scientist. You know, we read from the Bible. We worship the one God. We read and learn all about Jesus and try to follow his example. Some of the differences are, so in a Catholic church, for example, there is a person, a priest, whose profession it is to, you know, be a priest, and he's the priest is employed by the church to care for the service and give all the services and stuff. In a Christian Science church, we have, instead of priests, we have people from the church that will read from our text. They're called the first and second reader. They read from the Bible and from Science and Health, but they're not employed by the church, so they're volunteers. So it's a very much a kind of a lay church in terms of people who serve in it. It's also very much a democratic thing, so... Hold on, let me switch back to my speakerphone. I apologize for that. So we have elections of readers. We have elections for different committees and the like. So a little bit of a different sense there. No real kind of established employees of the church.
And the liturgy is different. Sorry to interrupt. The liturgy, from my experience, has been, you know, when I go to the temple, and over at the rabbi's synagogue, or if I'm at my church, you know, there's a lot of standing up and sitting down and kneeling and standing up, and then you walk this way and you say this. And I found the Christian Science service to be more contemplative or contemplative, where you're hearing these words and you're hearing these thoughts and ideas, and there are some songs that go along with it and a soloist. But you guys don't have that crowning moment where you take like the Eucharist or communion. There's a deeper, like, it happens once in a while, right? Where you guys do some more of a taking of like communion.
So the point you're getting to there is it's very light on the rituals, right? So whereas in a Catholic church we'll do the communion, we'll light different candles and whatnot at different times. In a Christian Science church, you go in there, you've got people from the congregation that have been elected to read, and they'll read for half hour or more, right? So it's more contemplative. It's more directly about the text that we're studying, a little bit less about the person or the ritual.
And
another thing, go ahead.
And structurally, in terms of hierarchy, that as you mentioned, there's no established priest, for example, that it is more just community-led, a lay leader-led, you know, from a structural perspective.
Yeah, so that's true, particularly for the branch churches. Now, at that mother church in Boston, they do have a board of directors. They do have a president. But the board of directors, the president, they're all on a rotation. So you don't have like a permanent type of priest or leader.
And within the kind of satellite churches that are around the country, you know, say the one that's in your home state in Arizona, there's no board of directors within a autonomous church that it goes by. The only structure from a board perspective would be the one in Boston.
It's a really good question. Most Christian Science branch churches will elect their own executive board that will make decisions like, hey, do we need to repaint the walls? You know, do we want to hold some event? But that too, those are elected by the membership on a rotational basis. So you'll get elected to be part of that, the executive board of the branch church for, say, 2 years, and then you're off.
And which all makes sense because Mary Baker Eddy was a Congregationalist before starting the church, so this sounds a lot like the Congregationalist church. So let's get into the nitty-gritty, into the theology that's behind it. So what's fascinated me about Christian the Scientist Church, and as I was saying before, is that I hold you as a very, very, very dear friend, close person of mine, so I want to get to know Christian Science more as you're a close person in my life, was studying it, and then I was telling the rabbi before that I actually studied it while I was running the marathon in Chicago because I had serious back injuries, I still do, and was told I couldn't run the marathon, and really committed myself to Christian Science during that time to study it, and lo and behold, I ran the marathon. So I can't put my finger down to say, hey, I was healed because I did Christian Science, but I do know it did happen. I do believe it was divinely inspired and God led it. But I know that there is something very powerful and very inspiring to all the denominations about Christian Science. So can we dip into this part of the divine healing? Because I'll tell you, from an outside Christian Science circle, it's a little bit controversial for other Christian denominations. They kind of freak out about this. They'll start saying it's heretical, how they approach divine healing. But at the end of the day, there's people in your church who are being healed from broken bones, from diseases, from sickness, in the name of God's love. And so let's just look at the big picture there. So can you explain to us how you all approach divine healing?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's, I like to think of it, two major points, okay? The first point is that what appears to be physical is actually mental. Now, to some people, that may seem kind of an abstract and perhaps even bizarre concept, but, you know, take a look at your anything, a tree, for example, or even your hand, some part of your body, right? It seems very much, based on our experience, our human experience and what we've been taught, right, that that's made of matter, right? And that material substance is apart from our thinking, right? The first of the two major premises, in my view, of the whole view of Christian Science healing is it's actually entirely mental, even though it appears to be physical. Okay, but we don't just leave it there, because the healing part comes in when we say, okay, God, which we kind of accept as, well, sometimes refer to God as divine mind. So we say God is entirely mental. His creation is entirely mental. And God is 100% perfect. God is 100% love. Everything God does or creates is consistent with love and perfection and total control and goodness, right? So if you put those two things together and you say, everything I'm experiencing and everything I see, both out there and in my body, is actually a manifestation of my thinking, if I can get my thinking in line with this divine mind, this divine love, then to the same extent that my thought goes from maybe misguided or greedy or hateful or stubborn toward the divine kind of love and forgiveness and goodness, since my thought is being corrected, the physical manifestation of my experience gets corrected along with it. So that correction of thought toward, you know, aligning our thought with the divine actually corrects what appears to be a physical manifestation, and therefore would appear to say, hey, there was a physical healing as a result of corrected thought. Hopefully that makes sense.
It does. We're on the air right now with Joe Gariano, a Christian Scientist. The number here is 772-220-9788. And talking about Christian Scientist, the Christian Scientist Church, and also divine healing and this one way of approaching it. Joe, another question before we take a quick break here. So in, let's say, in the Episcopal Church, or this idea that Jesus, we talk about Jesus as being the incarnation. I mean, not just the Episcopal Church. Mainline denominations talk about Jesus being the physical incarnation of God here on earth. So that this idea that the body, the holy temple that we have, is sacred. And so, and Rabbi, tell me if this is, if this aligns at all with the way you would approach this as a Reformed Jew. So our temple that we have is sacred. As a Christian, we say that because God came in the form of man. And so, wow, that must make this temple that we have sacred, as opposed to that we're just these spiritual beings having a physical experience. We're actually, no, we're physical and spiritual beings. It's all very sacred, because why would God inhabit it if God didn't think it was really awesome, amazing? But that line of thinking would kind of, so the material world gets some sacredness through that line, that way of approaching this experience we have here on earth with our bodies. You would say, as a Christian Scientist, that do you look at your body as this physical temple that can hurt and have pain and decay and be imperfect, and therefore this part of our reality here on earth is that we have this imperfect temple for whatever reason why God did that, and with that comes suffering and pain and brokenness, and that is part of our journey of walking with God, by walking through this brokenness and this hurt and this pain with it. Would that not, that way of approaching this experience of life, would that not align with the Christian Science theology?
It wouldn't, not quite. It wouldn't quite exactly. So the, what we accept as kind of the sacred aspect of our identity is, and I'll try not to sound kind of too abstract here, but we would say this spiritual aspect of our identity is what's sacred. So think about it this way. Imagine, so Christian, you're a longtime friend of mine, right? Imagine if an artist came to paint a picture of you, right? Now, that artist might be a really skilled artist and might do a really good job of painting a picture of you, or maybe that artist is just learning how to paint a picture of you, and they don't do a very good job of painting you. Regardless, I will not be, when I think about you and I think, man, what a great friend, I'm not going to be revering the painting, regardless of whether or not the painting is a really good representation or kind of a lousy representation. I know the person that I really revere and like is you, in that painting is an approximation of that person I really like. In the same way, what we see as the physical body more or less reflects that true spiritual identity. But what we really revere is the spiritual identity. The physical is just kind of the manifestation of it to a greater or lesser approximation. Does that make sense?
It does. I can tell you can't have people with minimal education in your church.
I want to say something about that, because it's very interesting. When I first came into Christian Science, I learned about it in college, introduced to it by a woman who's now my wife. That was my initial thought, but what I found, ironically, is that that's actually not the case. Sometimes I found that some of the more, sometimes when someone is highly educated, it can be, not all the time, but it can be a little bit harder to grasp some of these things. I found, more so than kind of education, it's an openness of mind and a humility. I've actually found that the concepts of Christian Science are quite simple. And, you know, I know people that have very little education, but that have kind of a humble sense that take right to Christian Science.
When you went through that transition of going from, say, you know, Catholicism towards Christian Science, I would assume it's not as easy as saying, well, I'm just going to go check out this church, see if it works for me, you know, because of the principles and tenets and ways of approach. I mean, is there an educational process in terms of learning more about it before you take up membership? Does the church say that there are classes that need to be done in order to get a background and familiar with its structure and its organization before you take up membership? Or is it just by virtue of just saying, well, I'm interested and this is pretty much it?
It's a good question. It's more of the latter. So I can tell you, any person from the public of any denomination can walk into a Christian Science church any Sunday. We also have services on Wednesday nights where the congregation gets up and gives testimonies of healing. Anybody can walk into any of those services at any time with no knowledge. And if they're interested after, you know, attending for a certain number of months, are welcome to apply for membership without any type of educational or training requirements whatsoever. There is a class, a 2-week-long educational program that you can take to learn more about the healing practice of it, and the scientific, what we call scientific way that the healing works. But you would take one of those classes if you were interested in becoming what's referred to as a Christian Science practitioner. So a Christian Science practitioner is someone who really commits their lives, full-time employment, to the practice of healing in Christian Science. So it would be a prerequisite to take one of those 2-week courses in order to be a Christian Science practitioner. I've taken that course. I'm an IT professional. I'm not a full-time Christian Science practitioner. So you don't have to become a full-time practitioner after taking that class. But that would be a prerequisite to that. But in terms of going to church, becoming a member, anybody can do it. Churches are open to the public. No educational requirements whatsoever for that.
All right. We're on the air with Joe Gariano, Christian Scientist out of Arizona, and we will be taking a break right now. When we come back, we want to get into Joe's personal testimony of some healings that he's experienced in his life, and really what is life like now for him as a Christian Scientist as opposed to when he wasn't practicing Christian Science. We know that it brought him love and marriage and children, so thanks be to God. But I think there's some other parts of his life that have really blossomed, and so we want to get into this. So we're here on A Priest and a Rabbi talking about divine healing and Christian Science. We'll be right back.
You're listening to A Priest and a Rabbi podcast. If you haven't done so yet, make sure to subscribe. And please leave a rating and a review, 5-star rating and a positive review if you can. We certainly appreciate it. That is the best way to make sure that others out there just like you can find this podcast. If you want to get in contact with Father Christian and Rabbi Durbin, you can do so by emailing apriestandarabbi@gmail.com. And the absolute best way to get a hold of the fellas is to call into the radio show. This podcast airs live on the radio every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on WSTU 1450. And you can listen live online at WSTU1450.com. And if you want to join the show, you can call in to 772-220-9788. That's 772-220-WSTU.
Hey, everyone. This is Father Christian here on A Priest and a Rabbi. So happy for you to be here on this podcast with us. And I want to let you know that I have started a YouTube channel called Your Favorite Christian, and you can check it out on YouTube. And every Monday, I drop a new episode, and it's always through the lens of faith, but taking on different topics such as dating, relationships, marriage, pop culture. I've done one recently where I went out to the art show and talked about how do we find our relationship with God through all the what all the latest artists are doing. Last week was what do women really want in a man, and interviewing different people to be a part of that. So please check that out on YouTube. Subscribe, like, share, put on the notification so you get that every Monday. I also want to let you know of this podcast wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a generous donor from St. Mary's Episcopal Church who wishes to remain anonymous. All he asked, though, was that the information gets out that St. Mary's Episcopal Church here in Stuart has a healing center. And so you can call if you're looking for a counselor, someone to be there for you during a challenging time. And you can call the church at 772-287-3244. We also have a group of Stephen ministers who have been trained, over 50 hours of training, to be with you and walk with you during a time of crisis. They are not counselors. They are trained just to be more of the presence of Christ and walk with you during a time of crisis, whether it's a good crisis of having, oh my gosh, my daughter's about to get married, or if there's something a little bit heavier. So give us a call, 772-287-3244, and I thank that anonymous donor who makes this all possible. All right, God bless you, and enjoy the rest of the podcast. Yo, 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 yo. Welcome back to A Priest and a Rabbi. This is Father Christian Anderson from St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Stuart, Florida. And next to me is the best-looking rabbi this side of the Jordan River. It is Matthew Durbin from Beth Hayam, Temple Beth Hayam here in Stuart, Florida as well. Together we make a priest and a rabbi and a priest. We both follow rabbis, so that's good.
Sounds good the other way. I like that.
A rabbi and a priest. We can switch it up. What we can also switch up to is our theme music. So anyone who's listening on the podcast or on the radio show, we will be looking for some music that we can use. Miggity Mike. So we just can't use, like, Shakira. I mean, we need to get permission from Shakira.
I mean, I'm sure if you pay her, she would let you use it.
I want to move my hips like this. Yeah.
Just like that, too.
Okay. I like your plug, though. Those that are musicians and that like the show and would like to create for us an original piece, send it.
I mean, you will blow up if you put my theme music is on A Priest and a Rabbi. People in Pakistan right now listen to our podcast. No joke. And your music will be playing on their Ford Tempo as they drive through the streets of Pakistan.
28 countries around the world.
And growing.
47 states.
Yeah. Share the podcast, ladies and gents, of A Priest and a Rabbi, especially if you're just tuning in right now. You can catch the whole show on any, whether it's Stitcher, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. We are continuing the second half of the show talking about Christian Scientism. Christian Scientism? We'll ask Joe about that. The Christian Scientist Church. We have Joe Gariano here with us as our guest. We are so grateful to have him here. And we're focusing on this theme of divine healing. So, Joe, Jose, welcome back. We want to talk about this, get into more of your personal testimony, your personal idea of, I think the first half of the show, we learned about Christian Science, the Christian Science Church. Now, as you are a Christian scientist, can you give us an example of a time in your life when you had a so-called injury or problem that requested for you to work some Christian scientism? Christian,
we say Christian science is how you would say it.
Okay.
Yes, I can. So there are a number of different examples I could give. I'll just run through some of the healings I have had that come to mind, and then I'll give you one in a little bit more detail. So I've had a number of different skin-related healings, a wart, a cyst, acne when I was in college. I've had a debilitating stomach issue, bowel issues healed. I had a very aggressive rash on my hands and feet, ear infection, countless cold and flu symptoms, many, many healings along those lines, all exclusively through relying on prayer. One I did want to share with you, I know, Christian, you and I had talked about this one back when you were studying it. I believe I never actually had it fully examined, but I believe I broke my arm at one point. I was riding my bike to work. I used to live close to work. and it rained. It doesn't rain often here in Arizona. I fell coming down a hill on my bike, and it was incredibly painful. Within a few minutes, I was unable to move the arm. I had to go back, and I took the next few days of work off. I worked very closely with so my initial thought was, okay, do I go to the hospital, and get this set? It's worth noting that there are no rules whatsoever in the Christian Science Church that says you can't go to a doctor. There's nothing like that. You don't get kicked out of the church, anything like that. The church and the Christian Science community sees each individual's decision to get whatever form of health care for whatever situation as their own. There's no negative look on that. However, I made the decision. I said, this is an opportunity for me to pray. I've been able to pray through other things successfully, so this is an opportunity. So I worked very closely with a Christian Science practitioner who you kind of sort of think is like a Christian Science version of a doctor. You call them up, and they pray with you according to the way that Mary Baker Eddy has taught us to pray. Well, anyway, it went for a few days without a whole lot of progress physically, but I was making a lot of progress mentally. I was really seeing myself more clearly from a spiritual perspective and really getting above this throbbing, immovable arm that was sitting there before me. Well, one evening I went out and I was walking, and I was reminded of a line from a Christian Science hymn, the lyrics of which are written by Mary Baker Eddy, and the line says, over earth's troubled, angry sea, I see Christ walk and come to me tenderly and divinely talk. And at that moment, I felt this sense that the Christ, God's message to me was coming to me clearly in a way that transcended any sense of my physical identity, any physicality. And at that moment of inspiration, I just felt this warmth flow through me. And my arm started to feel substantially better. I was able to move it without substantial pain. My wife likes to remind me, within about a week, I was in the White Mountains here in Arizona snowboarding. So I had a very quick healing once that the spiritual perspective really sunk in. So that's a memorable one for me. The other thing I want to note there, and this is very common with Christian Science healings, is that as great as it was to have that arm feeling better and back moving again, the most memorable part of that for me was that connection I felt to God and that kind of deep sense of love that I got through that prayer and through that revelation.
Joe, this is powerful stuff. We have a healing service at our church, and there's people who come to the rail, and I lay hands on them, and there's holy oils that are used. And many times it's just praying for God's will to be done because they're facing some pretty serious diagnoses. If you had someone come to you who is not a Christian Scientist, but they said, listen, Joe, I have let's go big here. I got stage 4 cancer, and I've, we tried everything. We're kind of at wit's end here. What could be some encouragement or how, and they're open to you, open to what you have to say. Where would you start with them to get them on a track to maybe see things a little bit differently or perceive their disease in a different way?
It's a great question. And here's where I would start. And that is, God loves you way too much to ever want anything like a disease to have anything to do with you. So where I would start is to really establish very firmly in our thinking that disease is not something that God is sending. The only thing God is sending to you is love, right? And the other thing I would establish, right, is that God has complete control over his creation, right? So there's no law of God, since God is love, and God has infinite control. There's no law that's saying you have to be a victim of that disease, right? Now, I wouldn't say that in a way to make it sound like it's a particular person's fault in any way that they're experiencing that disease. Rather, I'd say, this is an opportunity to let that sense of disease go. Kind of like if you're going in a hot air balloon, you might let some of the weights over the side. That's what it would be. Because God loves you and God's in control. And there's nothing about the creator of the universe that's requiring or wanting you to have that disease. That's where I would start.
So, Joe, what comes to my mind is, you know, in the Pentecostal church, they practice a spiritual gift of speaking in tongues. And I've talked to other people who are a part of the church or other charismatic churches that there's such a pressure to speak in tongues that if I am in a service and I am not speaking in tongues, which means all of a sudden I start speaking in kind of a glossolalia, a different language, that God is not really working through me. And there becomes this spiritual insecurity that can happen. So I'm sure, do you see this with other congregants or colleagues you have within the church that will think, hey, Joe, this isn't working, and I want to believe what you're saying, but I'm getting sicker, and I'm in a lot of pain. Is it because God doesn't love me, or because I don't know, I'm not working this right? I mean, to me, just the pastoral, the inspiring part of me wants to be like, oh, this sounds amazing, incredible, let's work it. But then the clergy side of me, and I think the rabbi might be with me on this, is just from a pastoral perspective, we see so many people hurting who are just in pain, and the last thing I would want to do is plant a seed inside of them that there's a law that says you are made perfect, and if you are somehow experiencing this imperfectness, then maybe God doesn't love you, or you're not able to receive this law of perfect love. You know, do you encounter this that questioning and analysis that can come up?
Yeah, of course, right? So every Christian Science healing that I've been a part of, and most of when you hear testimonies of Christian Science, there is almost always a change in thinking, right? So your thinking is at point A at the start, and the healing occurs when your thinking is at point B, right? And sometimes that change is effortless and instantaneous. Sometimes that change in thinking requires more growth and progress and work and may take some degree of time, right? And sometimes during that process of change, even from point A to point B, discouragement can sink in, right? But I think of two things when that discouragement comes in. First of all, I think, you know, I studied math when I was in college, right? And sometimes I'd be sitting in that math class and I wasn't getting it. You know, I was working. I don't really get that concept. How did he come up with that equation, right? The fact that I wasn't getting it or able to solve a particular problem when I was doing my homework didn't mean that the math was wrong, right? I just had some more work to do, right? I had some more studying and growth to do to get it. So I think about it like that.
But as a math student, in that example, you can start to feel pretty bad about yourself being like, I'm just not a good student. I'm not getting these concepts. And that would be my only concern as a pastor, from a pastoral, just strictly pastoral perspective, like bedside manner, is that the person is going to start to think, I'm just not a good Christian Scientist, or I'm just not a good child of God, because why am I not getting this? And there's frustration and the despair. You know, how do you deal with that sensitivity that can happen with someone who's really in a vulnerable place?
Yeah, and that's where the math analogy breaks down a bit, right? Because math, while it is this, you know, universal and perfect principle, it doesn't have the love aspect to it, right? So the other part of that, the thing is Christian Science, as we believe it to be, is the law of divine love. So what you're learning in this change you're trying to make from point A to point B in your thinking is really to embrace and understand more of God's love. So you've got God, or the Christ, right? The teachings and example of Jesus there to show you, hey, I'm encouraging you, I'm loving you this whole way, right? So I think part of during those discouraging times, Christian, that's where you really tap in to the divine love of God. And time and time again, I find if I really just in humility and reverence, just give my thinking over to divine love, that I will get that encouragement I need to continue my journey from that point A to point B and to reach healing.
So just out of curiosity, in terms of, you know, philosophy and, you know, the way that we approach things, I mean, is there the understanding that God has complete and utter control over our lives, or is there that understanding that through God's help and through God's guidance and assurance and love and compassion and everything else, that we are given free will in our decision making, that there's the divine guidance, but at the same time we are responsible for our own actions and our own decisions that we make?
Yeah, it's a really good question, right? And that's kind of, you know, philosophically, the whole thing of free will can get a little difficult to think through. But the way that I think about it is this: God is a universal principle. You can think of math as an example of that, or music, but God's much more than that. God is like to us in the Christian Science teaching, God is divine love as a principle is like the sun that is just shining, right? And all it can do is just shine and everything it touches, right? So in that sense, we don't control God and the divine principle any more than we control the sun shining. Where the free will concept gets into play, at least the way that I think about it, is using the analogy of the sun, right? I can choose on a sunny day to go outside and walk and enjoy the sunshine, or I can choose to kind of stay cooped up in a dark room, right? Regardless of what I choose to do, that sun is still shining on everything. To kind of draw the analogy, right? So God is always being God, is always loving, is always providing infinite intelligence and infinite guidance. The choice, if you will, or the discretion on my part is, do I choose to align or synchronize my thought and action with that divine principle? To the extent that I do, I will enjoy the harmony and the health that comes along with, you know, that divine love and that divine intelligence. To the extent that I kind of turn away from it, it might be a little bit more of an uphill battle in life.
So, Joe, the great advantage we have of the show is that our producer is our favorite agnostic in the world. So we get to bounce things off, and we get all very uppity, whoa, but just lost in our religiosity sometimes. We bring in Miggity Mike because he's our favorite agnostic. Mm-hmm. So, Mike, what are your thoughts on hearing this conversation so far as more, I don't want to say outsider because that sounds exclusive, mm-hmm, but just someone who's not a regular churchgoer?
I mean, it's wild, and you know, my first instinct would be to be highly skeptical of a lot of this, but I do believe that of you know, to an extent, mind over matter, and having your mind in the right headspace is important and is very powerful in itself and in its own right. So, I mean, that's kind of where I kind of settled out on this. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with believing that you know, can make yourself healthy or that you will become healthy again, and you know, like, that to me is power behind it.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I mean, Joe, listen, man, I ran the marathon and my back shows that I shouldn't have ran that marathon, but through studying Christian Science through that time, I mean, I was working with a Christian Science healer. I was attending the church. I was getting those principles. And really all I can say is from an Episcopal view was my mind was focused on these divine concepts. Instead of thinking of the injury, my mind was focused on full, complete, wholesome love and envisioning my back as being an expression of God's structure, God's sturdiness, God's love. And so, listen, God is a huge God. God can do anything. And maybe when we align ourselves and our minds with that providence of God and the incredibleness of God, things do change. I mean, we know it. It happens in the church a lot of times. We call it miracles. But I think for you, Joe, you wouldn't call it a miracle. You're just like, that's just truth, man. That's just how we roll.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's one other thing. And Mike, I really appreciate your comments. And as ironic as this sounds, in a lot of ways, there are quite a few, there's some consistencies between Christian Science and what a lot of agnostics might think. And that consistency really is rooted in this. Mary Baker Eddy was very clear that she said, don't just believe my teachings because I'm saying them. Believe them to the degree that you can demonstrate them. So I studied math and computer science in college. I'm an engineer. I think very objectively. The reason I am as enthusiastic and ardent as I am about Christian Science is not because it's a bunch of words or theory. It's because I've actually demonstrated what it's saying. So once you get to the point of saying, wow, this, I've actually proven for myself that it can work, it becomes less dogmatic and more, you could think of it as scientific or demonstrable. So I think that's an area where an agnostic could really kind of, or even an atheist could kind of engage in some of this stuff.
Well, Joe, I think the biggest testimony is knowing you for quite some time, is that you are definitely a place, and we, I'm sorry, we're at the end of the show here, but that to I could just state this as your friend. You are since you have started to study Christian Science, are in a place of great self-fulfillment and compassion and love. You come from a place of great love, contentment, and peace and generosity. And for that, we say amen, right? So for anyone who is skeptical of this, listen, this is a way of life that you're walking. Your faith is making you a greater human being, a more generous human being, a more selfless human being, a better father, a better husband. And that we say amen. So that is a true blessing. And it is a blessing to have you on the show, my brother.
Well, thank you for that incredible compliment, Christian. I really appreciate that. And I really thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's with, you know, great humility that I kind of say thank you to you, to the Rabbi, and to Mike. I really appreciated the time.
Well, we're so happy to have you on here, Rabbi. Were you happy to have Joe on here?
I think it was incredibly enlightening, and I think hopefully for our listeners to be able to understand that there is a wide breadth of religious institutions and organizations that are out there in terms of belief and understanding. So I greatly appreciate the insight and certainly the perspective.
So if this has sparked up anything, you can contact Joe. What's your cell phone number? I'm kidding. You can just go to the Christian.
No, if you want to know, there's a website, christianscience.com is the website of the church that will give you a lot more information about all this stuff.
You're the best, Joe. We really appreciate you having you on here, man. All right. God bless you, brother.
Okay, so, God bless you. Thanks a lot.
Talk to you, man. So so that was fun. That was fun, Rabuni.
I know we're at the end of the show, and just wanted to give one very shameless plug for those that are available this Sunday, 11 o'clock at Temple Beit Hayam. We are having our 6th annual Latke Fest. It is many cooks providing latkes, potato pancakes, tons of food, tons of awesome social understanding and being able to come together. It is open to the wider community, to the Jewish community. I hope you will join us. Vote for your favorite latke so that the winner wins the coveted golden latke trophy.
And we also realize that, you know, there's a lot of loneliness and isolation during this time. The holidays can be rough. So over at St. Mary's, we have a thing called Stephen Ministry, so we can walk with you and talk with you during this time if you're experiencing the lows of the holiday season. So come on over to www.stmarys-stewart.org. We'll see you next Friday. God bless you. Peace.